Lord, you formed me out of clay, and for your glory I was made. So God, I'm asking that you would use this vessel in this moment as you choose. And Lord, let my life, let it praise you. We're asking for clarity of thought and clarity of speech. Lord, please speak to us, through us, and to all those that will have an ear to hear what your Spirit has to say to the church. And Lord, please help us to be doers of your word and not hearers only. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Walk with me this morning to a very familiar passage of scripture to most of us, Romans, the third chapter. Romans, the third chapter. Third chapter of the book of Romans. Some have called Romans, some theologians, they say they kind of call Romans the fifth gospel, because Paul takes his time and declares so clearly about the Lord Jesus Christ and about him coming for our redemption. And the thought I have in my mind as we look toward observing at the end of our message, our communion portion, where we consume by faith the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thought that hit my mind earlier, and hopefully I developed it clearly so we can receive benefit, is simply faith in his blood. Faith in his blood. And when I say his blood, I'm talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. Faith in his blood. Romans chapter number 3, and beginning at verse number 23. Of course, I have the Amplified Classic version of the scriptures, and you can follow along with any version that you have. This is what it says, beginning at verse 23 of Romans chapter 3. Since all have sinned and are falling short of the honor and glory which God bestows and receives, verse 24 says, all are justified and made upright and in right standing with God freely and gratuitously by his grace, his unmerited favor and mercy through the redemption which is provided in Christ Jesus. I want to stop there for a minute. Paul is actually saying that all mankind have sinned. No one is exempt. Every human being that was born, we know from the scriptures that we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We realize that we had nothing to do with us being born in sin. That happened way before we even got here. When Adam disobeyed God in the garden, sin was passed on to the whole human family. And sin has been sin ever since. And sin is exceedingly sinful. Sin is terrible. Sin is something that God hates. And I was just thinking how kind God is to have a remedy for sin before we even got here. How kind and gracious of God. Now, I'm talking about God, the sovereign God, the almighty God, the God who stands alone in his godness. No God with him, no real God but him, no one beside him. No one can make God do what he doesn't want to do. And yet and still, this great and powerful and awesome God, in his kindness and his mercy, allowed the plan of salvation to be in place in the mind of God from the foundation of the world. You have to remember that one of the aspects or characteristics, if you will, of God is that he is omniscient. I mean, he knows everything. We don't have to tell God anything. It's good to talk to God, but because talking to God helps us, because he is aware of everything that's going on anyway. Nothing escapes God. Even those tiniest of birds, when their feet touch the ground, God is aware of every bird that touches the ground. But I am amazed and grateful, knowing the fact that all have sinned. That means every human being. We can't say that we are we're not sinners, because that's how we were born. But then in verse 24, he says, all are justified. We had nothing to do with the sin, and we had nothing to do with the implementation of justification. It was all God's doing. All are justified and made upright and in right standing with God. You mean to tell me that God has already provided a way for you and I when we come here in sin? Are you all going to sit there and tell me that God has already provided a way for me to escape the sin that I was born in? Huh? He said all are justified. So it matters not where on earth you are. It matters not your family background. It matters not your economic status. It matters not if you live in Beverly Hills, Baldwin Hills, or No Hills. He said all are justified and made upright and in right standing with God. Wait a minute. I read somewhere that we were the enemies of God. Huh? And the Bible says in this same book that while we were yet enemies of God, Christ died for us. Look at the kindness and the mercy of God. All are justified and made upright and in right standing with God freely and gratuitously by his grace. Thank God for his grace. What is his grace? His unmerited favor and mercy. Grace that we could never earn. Grace that we could never pay for. Grace that was just given to us. And this grace is because of the mercy and favor of God, and it is through the redemption which is provided in Christ Jesus. I'm glad that there is redemption in Christ Jesus. And we understand the concept of redemption. That means something has to be paid to get something back. When you redeem something, you know, we get a lot of stuff in the mail, and it has coupons for some of the eateries that we like to go. And they say, if you bring this coupon by a certain date, you can get so much off. And we, like my wife and I, we love to take advantage of them coupons, especially to the places that we like to go. But you have to present something, huh, before the coupon expires. You have to present it in person, and then they will give you whatever the coupon says. So we understand redemption. But what did Jesus do for us? He paid the price for every last one of us. He presented himself when he came the flesh. One of the writers said, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." Basically, what Jesus was saying is he understood the Old Testament sacrifices, all of the Old Testament sacrifices where they had to take those animals, the lambs, the turtle doves, the bulls, and sacrifice for their sin. That was just a situation that God had placed in time for the children of Israel in the Old Testament time to have their sins paid for. They had to take an innocent animal. So when Jesus came, he came as the very Lamb of God. His cousin pointed him out, "Behold, the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sin of the world." So Jesus paid the price for all of our sins. It was through his blood that we were redeemed. The Bible says in verse 25, "Whom God put forward before the eyes of all as a mercy seat and propitiation by his blood, the cleansing and life-giving sacrifice of atonement and reconciliation." I'm thankful for the blood that Jesus shed. First of all, it was sinless blood. It was pure blood. It was the blood that Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary. It was the cleansing blood. It is the cleansing blood. It is a life-giving sacrifice. Old Testament declares, "For the life of the creature is in the blood." It was a life-giving sacrifice of atonement. It allowed us to be put back in good relationship with God. Now we have to be able to receive it. The Bible says in verse 25, "To be received through faith." That's why it is important for every man, woman, boy, or girl to put their faith in what Jesus Christ has done, because he has already done it. But if you don't put your faith in what Jesus Christ has done, then you will not receive the redemption. You will not take full advantage of the grace. Your sins will remain on you, and God has paid the price through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our sins to be washed away. We have to have faith in his blood. We have to have faith in the gospel message. We have to have faith in the fact that when Jesus went to the cross, he had you and I and all mankind on his mind. We have to be appreciative to the fact that we did not qualify for God's salvation or love at all. On our best day, we were no good. But God, in his grace and his mercy, allowed Jesus to come in the flesh, and he lived a perfect life as the man Christ Jesus. He was the perfect sacrifice for our sins. The Bible continues, "This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he passed over and ignored former sins without punishment." Here we see Jesus as our Passover. I'm thankful for the divine forbearance with God. In other words, God was putting up with all of mankind's foolishness until Jesus came. I don't know about you, but I appreciate the forbearance of God. I appreciate God putting up with all of my foolishness. He passed over and ignored former sins. Only God can do that. Pass over and ignore our sins, because the Bible says in one place, if God would mark iniquity, who could stand? But God, in his divine forbearance, passed over and ignored former sins. Oh, glory. You listen, sometimes the devil might want to come and tap you on your shoulder and talk to you, say, well, you know, you used to do this and you used to do that. Get the word for that rascal and let him know that God in his divine forbearance has passed over and ignored former sins without penalty. Jesus paid for it. So when the accuser of the brethren, the devil will come and try to make you think that you are in a position or condition of no hope, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. So it was, the Bible says in verse 26, it was to demonstrate and prove at the present time in the now season that he himself, talking about God, is righteous and that he justifies and accepts as righteous him who has true faith in Jesus. See, you got to have true faith in Jesus, not just the believing out of your mouth, you know, because the devil believes and trembles. But listen, faith without works is dead. If you have true faith, if we have true faith in the blood of Jesus Christ and what it cost him to purchase our salvation, then our lives would demonstrate that we have faith in his blood. Listen, we can't count this blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ as a common thing, as a cheap thing. We have to place a high value on what it cost Jesus to give up his life. We have to place a high premium on what it costs to purchase our salvation. He paid an awesome price for us, and we owe him everything. We owe him our life. We owe him our obedience. We owe him our faithfulness. We owe him our loyalty. We owe him our love, because he poured out his life blood for every last one of us. And if we maintained faith, active faith, true faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done, it will place, I believe, a governor over us. It'll make us think, wait a minute, before I do this, what is it going to cost? When I look at what I'm about to do or what I'm about to say or where I'm about to go, how will that reflect on this great price that Jesus Christ has paid for me? It should make me think again and rethink my motives. It should make me not want to do anything that would bring shame to the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to have faith in his blood. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7, for we walk by faith. We regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our convictions or beliefs respecting man's relationship to God and divine things with trust and holy fervor. Thus we walk not by sight or appearance. One version says we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith in what? Faith in the fact that Jesus, he died for me. And since he died for me, I am obligated. I owe God. We owe God to live for him. We have to walk by faith. So that means my life has to be regulated. I have to conduct myself by my convictions. Listen, what are your convictions? What are our convictions today? Listen, holiness is still right. God is still calling for holiness, because the Bible said in one place, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Yes, I want to please God, and I believe it's your desire to please God. So that means I got to regulate. Listen, we as human beings, we don't like nobody to regulate us. We don't like nobody telling us what to do. But listen, the Bible says that they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Because it is not in man to direct our way. Listen, I need to be led by the Holy Ghost. We need to be led by the Holy Ghost. This is a
faith walk. It's not about what I see, because the things that we see are temporary, but the things that are unseen, they are the eternal things. So we have to walk by faith, and we have to regulate and conduct ourselves by the conviction that we have in God. Listen, there was no law that was given back in Old Testament time, and there's no law that can be given in this time that can make us righteous. Paul wrote in Galatians, "Is the law then contrary and opposed to the promises of God? Of course not. For if a law had been given which could confer spiritual life, then righteousness and right standing with God would certainly have come by the law." So don't get it twisted. Don't think you can go back and look at the Old Testament time and look at Exodus chapter number 20 and say, all I got to do is keep the commandments. Yeah, you only talking about 10, but there were over 630 ordinances that they had in the Old Testament time. And the Bible declares that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, because there was no human being that was able to keep the law all the time. The Bible said so that every mouth had to be stopped. So what we do is we put our faith and our confidence in Jesus. Verse 22 of Galatians 3 says, but the scriptures pictures all mankind as sinners. That's what he said in Romans. But the scripture picture all mankind as sinners, shut up and imprisoned by sin. Oh, listen, that's how we came here. We were born cute babies and pretty babies and cuddly children, but we were born in prison. Glory, hallelujah. We were imprisoned by sin. We were shut up by sin. Even with our cute little selves, sin was all in our members, so that the inheritance, the blessing which was promised through faith in Jesus Christ the Messiah might be given. I'm thankful for the promise. Listen, the promise started way back in Genesis 3 and 15 when God said that the seed of the woman was going to crush the head of the serpent. I thank God for all of his promises. He promised that a Messiah would come, and guess what? The Messiah came just as he said, and that Messiah is Jesus Christ. We got to have faith in his blood. He said, but the scriptures picture all mankind as sinners, shut up and imprisoned by sin, so that the inheritance, the blessing which was promised through faith in Jesus Christ. That's how you get the blessing. That's how you get the inheritance. You got to have faith in Jesus Christ. You got to have faith in his blood. He said that this promise might be given. It might be released. It might be delivered and committed to who? To all those who believe, to all those who adhere. That means obey. To all those who trust and rely on him. So listen, what God is trying to let somebody know this morning is that you need to be able to receive this inheritance. There is an inheritance that's set aside for you before you even got on this planet. And God wants to release and deliver the inheritance. He wants to commit to you the inheritance. And the only way that you can receive this inheritance, you got to have faith in Jesus Christ. You got to put your faith and your confidence and your trust. You got to rely on Jesus for the saving of your soul. You got to put faith in the fact that his blood was shed for the remission of your sins. I don't care what you have done. You could have a rap sheet that's 3 or 4 miles long. But when Jesus went to that cross on Calvary, he was hung up for all of our hangups. You hear me say our? Yes, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there is an inheritance that is waiting for you. There is deliverance that is waiting for you, but you got to get it from Jesus. You got to put faith in what he has done. You got to trust him. You got to adhere to him. Listen, when Jesus first came on the scene, what did he preach? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's the same message that is available to all mankind in 2023 and beyond. Until the Lord comes, it's time for men and women everywhere to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What does that mean? You got to turn from your wicked ways. You got to turn from your life that's against God. You ain't no shot caller. You ain't large and in charge. But you have to understand that God has paid a price for you, and he is not willing that any should perish. God wants everyone to come to repentance because he wants you to receive this great blessing. He wants you to receive this great promise. You got to put faith in his blood. Your blood was not good enough. My blood was not good enough. I got O positive, and the only thing that I can get, I think, is O positive. But Jesus got some blood. I don't know what it is. AB negative or positive, but one thing I am positive about, that his blood cleanses us from all of our sins. Put your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, we got to understand that this blood, it will never lose its power. This blood can cleanse us. The Bible said, for those of us who are even saved, if we confess our sin. Let me tell you something, after you get born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, sometime, because we're in this earthen vessel, we're going to slip up. Oh, yes, we will, because there's no good thing that dwells in the flesh. It's not our aim to slip up, but sometimes we just do. But oh, thank God for his kindness. Oh, thank God. I feel like preaching now. Oh, thank God for his grace, that when I slip up, God has already gave me a backup. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. When I mess up, God has already gave me a backup. And the backup is, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What is he going to cleanse us with? That same blood that he shed on Calvary. It shall never lose its power. Somebody said it reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. Glory. Hallelujah. I put my faith in my confidence, not in my own mind, not in my own ability, not in my own thinking, but my faith is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody wrote a long time ago, the blood done signed by name. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. If you have faith in the blood of Jesus Christ and you repent of your sins, glory, you get baptized. We got some water here. You get baptized in Jesus' name, and God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. That's your deliverance. You are not, oh glory, you're not delivered until you receive the inheritance. Wait a minute. Didn't we say there were some promises? I hear God speaking through Peter. He said the promise is unto you. It's to your children and them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What promise is that? Glad you asked. It's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a promise. Holy Ghost is already here. Just got to receive it. You got to receive it. You ain't got to push in front of nobody. God can fill you right where you sit. You got to have faith. Faith. Believe and receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And I said, even after you get saved, you're going to slip up. It's not your aim to slip up. It's not our aim to slip up, but you do. We're in this flesh. But thank God for the backup. Because the backup ain't going to let me crack up. Even though sometimes I live like I'm jacked up. Come on. But thank God for the backup. What's the backup? His word? His word? If you were reading in our word for you today, earlier this week, it said, pray to God his word. God, you said if we confess our sin. That's what you said. I didn't come up with that. You said if we confess our sins, you're faithful. You're faithful to forgive us of our sin. So I'm not going to, wait a minute. In that same book, he said, if we say we have not sinned, then we're liars. I don't know what he's talking about. You don't follow me around. I ain't got to follow you. God said, I'll never leave you. Nor will I forsake you. God knows where we are geographically. He knows where we are mentally. He knows where we are spiritually. He knows where we are in our heart. Well, I ain't thinking about that. I just call him. God, he can decipher all that mumbling. Because he's God. He said, I know your thoughts are far off. You ain't fooling nobody. Let me get back to the scripture. But it's scripture. It's scripturally based. We got to have faith in his blood. We got to have faith in his blood. We should not count this sacrifice as a cheap thing. We should honor it with the way that we live. God help me. Then maybe I can help somebody else. Faith in his blood. Let me get another scripture. We're almost ready for communion. Okay, this thing ain't acting right. Fear not. Go to the backup. That's all right. Amen. Praise God for the backup. Thank God for the backup. Here it is. Come on. Boom. There you go. All right. Galatians is what I finished with, right? This thing can freeze all he want, but I ain't going to freeze. Amen. Colossians, Paul. See, Paul is consistent in all of his writings. Colossians 1:13 says, the Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. See, God delivered us. Watch this, verse 14. Here it is. In whom we have redemption. How? Through his blood. Which means the forgiveness of our sins. That's why we got to have faith in his blood. Because that's how we get redemption. Through his blood. We get redeemed. Lord, I tell you how to pray for my mind. Sometimes law enforcement has a gun buyback. Oh, yeah, I don't know about that. Sometimes the sheriffs or the police department will have a program they call a gun buyback. Okay. Where you can turn in your gun, turn in your weapons, no question asked. You can turn it in, and they give you either some money or coupons for the store. You know, it's a gun buyback program. Jesus got a sin buyback program. All you got to do is turn your life over to him. And all your sins, he said, I already bought them anyway. Why are you hanging out there in the world? The buyback program has been in place since Calvary. You out there fronting. Just come on to the house. Come on to the station and turn yourself in. I yield. I can't hold out no longer. That's what they did on the day of Pentecost. What must I do to be saved? Your sins have already been paid for. Didn't we read all are justified? But you holding out for a better program. Ain't no program better than this. You mean all my sins could be forgiven? They already are. You got to take advantage of it. You got to have faith in his blood. All right. I tell you, I pray for my mind because my mind, God gives me some illustrations that are just, boom, okay, we'll go with that one, Lord. He delivered us from darkness. Didn't he do that? Oh, now you want to act right. Okay. That's all right, because you know I wasn't stopping. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 7 says, but if we really are living, 1 John chapter 1 verse 7, but if we really are living and walking in the light, remember, we just read that he's drawn us out of the control of darkness, right? But if we are really living and walking in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have true, unbroken fellowship with one another. Ooh, we can get along then, huh? And watch this. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses, removes us from all sin and guilt, keeps us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestations. Who would not have faith in the blood of Jesus? You see that? Let me continue. If we say, here it is, we have no sin, refusing to admit that we are sinners, we delude and lead ourselves astray. And the truth which the gospel represents is not in us, does not dwell in our hearts. Look at verse 9. If we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he is faithful and just, true to his own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness, everything not in conformity to his will in purpose, thought, and action. Look at that. Just by having faith in his blood and confessing our sins. I have in my notes here, communion prep. I'm going to read some verses for communion prep. The 11th chapter of, because we're going to do an altar call after these verses, and then we might be ready for communion. Hang with me, all right. I ain't going to hurt you. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 28, watch this. Let a man thoroughly examine himself, and only when he has done so should he eat of the bread and drink of the cup. We're talking about communion now, right? Verse 29. For anyone who eats and drinks without discriminating and recognizing with due appreciation that it is Christ's body, eats and drinks a sentence, a verdict of judgment upon himself. That careless and unworthy participation is the reason many of you are weak and sickly, and quite enough of you have fallen into the sleep of death. Verse 31, for if we searchingly examined ourselves, detecting our shortcomings and recognizing our own condition, we should not be judged and penalty decreed by the divine judgment. But when we fall short and are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined and chastened so that we may not finally be condemned to eternal punishment along with the world. Basically, what Paul is saying here to the Corinthians is we have to examine ourselves. He's not saying not to take communion. A lot of times, maybe in years past, people were apprehensive about taking communion. That's not what he's saying. He's saying examine yourself, right? Now, we just read what the Apostle John wrote, confess your sins, right? So if we examine ourselves and confess our sins, then we can take with the right frame of mind the Lord's Supper, all right? So now the altar is open for everybody.